The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I'm a big fan of a series of books called The Unofficial Guides. We've had past authors on of The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando or The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World and Disneyland, and Aaron Foster joins us today, and the brand new unofficial guide to the Disney Cruise Lines 2018 is out now. And if you're thinking about going on a cruise, the Disney line really is unbelievable. Now, I've never been on a cruise. I've never been to a Disney cruise, obviously. I've never been on a cruise. But everybody I've ever talked to that's been on a Disney cruise speaks so highly of it. And so that's why we asked Aaron Foster, the author of Disney Cruise Lines 2018. Like I said, Aaron, I've never heard anybody speak poorly of a Disney cruise.
Yes, it is. It's a great time. I actually have to tell you, I did not love my first Disney cruise.
Really?
I went when my kids were very little, mm-hmm. and they were in a separation anxiety phase and did not want to go to the kids club.
Oh, that happened to my neighbor across the street. They couldn't wait for their kid to go to the kids club, and they didn't want to go.
So if your kid's going to the kids club, it's a great time. And now I know there are many other things to do on the ship for kids and adults and families. But at the time, I was not prepared. So I didn't really know what there was to do for kids if they weren't going to the kids club. So the book actually now tells people things they can do with their kids that are not the kids club. So if had I been more prepared, we would have had a great time. But since then, we've been on a dozen family cruises and had a wonderful time. Hey, there's definitely lots to do for all ages. Yeah.
Okay, let's first start with the demographics of the Disney Cruise Line, because a lot of people probably think that this is really only for families, and that's not the case at all, is it?
Absolutely not. I have actually gone many times with just my husband and with just girlfriends and other groups of adults, and there's plenty to do. There are adult districts with game shows for adults and bars and like a piano bar for adults, and there are adult beverage tastings, and there are several restaurants that are adults 18 and up only, which serve incredible gourmet food. There are adult pools. There's plenty to do for grown-ups as well as for kids.
And I think it was one of your cohorts, I think it was maybe Len Testa, who writes also for the Unofficial Guides. I think he told me that almost 30% of the passengers don't even bring their children. They're just really adult couples.
Why would you bring your child? No, no, absolutely. Yeah, there's a quite a large percentage of adults that go on Disney cruises. Some people like Disney in general. Many adults do. Also, it's incredibly safe and clean. Disney scores among the best, if not the best, of all the cruise ships on, cleanliness and safety and environmental friendliness and all those things. So it's a stellar cruise line for anybody.
Okay, so we have that. Okay, then the other thing that I didn't really realize until I read the book yesterday is really the destinations that the Disney Cruise Lines go to, because I was under the mistaken impression that Disney Cruise Lines basically left for the Caribbean and back. But that's not the case at all, is it?
Not at all. In fact, there are four co-authors of this book, of which I am one, The Unofficial Guide to Disney Cruise Line. And I actually sort of specialize in the non-Caribbean cruises. While I've been to the Caribbean ports, I've also sailed Disney to Alaska and to the Mediterranean and a couple different versions of Northern Europe, including Iceland and Scotland and Norway, Sweden, and even Russia I've been to on Disney Cruise Line.
There was a Disney Cruise Line that went to Russia.
Absolutely.
Wow.
There's one every year.
Wow. And I also saw, yeah, there's ships that leave out of New York City that go up the coastline, the eastern coastline of Canada.
Correct. Eastern coastline of Canada. And occasionally they also go to Hawaii.
Now, so let's talk a little bit about the ones that go to Alaska and up the eastern coast of Canada, because, a lot of people associate with cruise lines with going to beach destinations, though Alaska cruises have become very popular. What are those Disney cruises like that go up those coastlines?
They make it so that you want to be outside even for that. I mean, I've been to Iceland and I've been to Alaska. and I've actually been to Canada on Disney Cruise Line as well, they will, on the decks, they'll put blankets on the lounge chairs so you can cuddle up and watch the scenery. They'll roll around carts with hot toddies and hot chocolate so you can have a warm beverage on deck. And it's a great way to see sort of a different type of nature. If you're not a beach person, which I personally am not so much, you can see the wildlife. And particularly with Alaska, the ship goes right up to the glacier within a few hundred feet. And so you have an incredible view of like seals on an iceberg and mountain goats and all sorts of wildlife, really in a very close view. It's an incredibly easy way to bond with nature.
Interesting, interesting. Now, also, let's talk a little bit about the Caribbean. And one of the things that stands out for Disney is they have their own island.
Absolutely. Castaway Cay is their own island. And so there's only their one Disney ship a day docks there. And so it's just the people on your ship that have access to the island. There are the different areas for families and for adults. Again, there's an adult area. If you're not having your kids with you, you can sit on the beach in perfect quiet with just grown-ups. They feed you on the island. There's a wonderful barbecue every day. Again, there's drinks on the island. It's lots of activities, snorkeling, different fish viewing. You can rent boats and jet skis and that sort of thing. But it's just for the Disney cruise ships.
Where approximately is this island? What country is it in? And
It's part of it's sort of near Nassau.
Okay,
it's in that general area.
Is it part of the Bahamas? I think I read that in your book that they actually have some type of agreement with the Bahamas to like lease an island.
Right. It was a 99-year lease for the island. Yes.
That's incredible because I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't know of another cruise line that has an island.
There actually are, and I should be a little more prepared to know exactly which ones. But yes, there are a few others that have their own islands.
Okay, and then also, you told me this, and I didn't realize this either, that this year, the upcoming year, 2018, that Disney is entering the river cruise market in Europe.
They did. They started in 2016. Disney does not own the river ships like they own their ocean cruise ships, but they've partnered with a luxury cruise line called Ama Waterways, and for about 10 sailings each summer on the Danube and on the Rhine rivers, they take over the whole ship and they bring in their staff to run excursions into the cities. I had the opportunity to go on a Disney river cruise with my family in the summer of 2016 on the Danube, and it was an absolutely incredible experience. You're so close to the city. You dock right. We went to Budapest, for example, and you dock right at the edge of the city, and you can just walk into town. We had all local performers come on the ship. And, you know, on an ocean cruise, let's say, you know, God forbid you miss your port, you'd have to take a flight to get to the next island or something. Here you could take an Uber. You know, I mean, it's that intimate. We had a guitarist come and perform for us, and the ship pulled over to dock him at his hometown, like 15 minutes away. It's that sort of gentle, intimate. You're really part of the city. The food, in my opinion, the food on Disney Cruise Line is pretty good. The food on the river cruises is absolutely incredible because they can get fresh produce all the time, and it's not so mass produced. The river cruises hold about 150 to 160 passengers compared with the ocean cruise ships, which carry 3,000 to 4,000 passengers.
Yeah, it's a totally different kind of deal. Now, let me ask
totally different.
Let me ask you this. Compared to, let's talk specifically about the river cruises here, then we'll go back to the ocean liners. But the river cruises that hold 150 guests, what is the Disney-like experience there? I mean, because everything that you explained to me about these river cruises is stuff that other river cruises offer. I mean, they're right in the middle of the city and so forth, and it's a smaller amount of guests. What does the Disney experience add to that?
Well, one of the main things is that it's more family friendly. So when Disney started this partnership with Ama Waterways, they asked for some very specific things about the boats themselves, which are ships which are new. So they have more cabins with connecting doors that are more accessible to families. So you could, you know, be with your kids, where that's a relative rarity in the cruise line. And they have programming specifically for children. So on most other river cruises, the average age is sort of, you know, well into the 60s or 70s. On the cruise that I went on, I would say most of the adults were in their sort of late 30s to early 50s, and there were several dozen children on board, teens, kids down to around age 5, and they have programming for all these ages. So, for example, when we stopped in Vienna, there was a tour for adults of various museums, but there was also a tour and activity specifically aimed to elementary age kids, which does not exist on most other river cruise lines.
Well, let's talk a bit about the big cruise liners that seat up to 4,000 people or hold up to 4,000 people.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this because I was looking at all the different destinations in Europe and up in New York City they can launch from, Galveston, Miami, on the West Coast also the U.S. There's only 4 ships right now, correct?
That's absolutely correct for now. However, Disney announced that they are currently in the process of building 3 new ships, and we know extremely little about these new ships. We know the company that's producing them, which is Meyer Werft, which is the company that made the Dream and the Fantasy, Disney's 2 newest ocean ships. And we know that the type of fuel they'll be using, and that's literally all they've made public. So the Disney community is having lots and lots of fun speculating what these new ships might hold. They're being rolled out to the public in 2021, 2022, and 2023. And people are, you know, we don't even know what the names are. We don't know. Will they have more adult areas? Will they have larger cabins? Will there be different entertainment, different dining? We really don't know, but everybody is very excited to see what those new ships will bring to the fleet.
It's kind of interesting because this whole Disney Cruise Line has become a business upon itself almost. I mean, obviously it's under the Disney umbrella and it operates in the same high standards that Disney has, but it's grown so quickly, so large.
Yeah, I mean, the first ship started the Wonder in, I think it was 1998. So it's getting on 20 years, but yeah, it's an incredible business. And there are lots of people who, you know, aren't theme park fans who love the cruises and vice versa. And, you know, there are people in the Caribbean often like to put the two, Disney World and Disney Cruise Line, together and do a land and sea vacation.
Yeah, how does that work? Because Orlando's obviously is landlocked. So if you kind of do the double vacation, how do you get from Orlando to where the boat docks?
They have buses that are, it's quite inexpensive to go back and forth. And so you can book them together or separately. But there's easy bus transportation that will pick you up at your Disney hotel or bring you back to a Disney hotel, depending on whether you're going before or after.
Do they go from Orlando all the way to Miami? Is that how far you take the bus?
No, to Port Canaveral, which is a little over an hour.
Oh, okay. That's big difference.
Big difference.
Big difference. Okay, because I was thinking, man, I don't know if I take a bus all the way down to Miami.
Port Canaveral is their main base, and they do have some sailings out of Miami in the winter, but they sail out of Port Canaveral all year round for 2 of their ships have Port Canaveral as their home dock, and that's just a little over an hour from Orlando.
I see. So if you were living like in Michigan and you wanted to take one, you would fly into the Orlando airport to get to the ship?
Correct, yes. And you can also get a bus, a Disney bus, directly from the Orlando airport to the ship at Port Canaveral as well.
All right. I want to touch on a couple different things here also. First of all, if you're a parent and you have teenagers, is a Disney cruise a good idea with families with teenagers?
Absolutely. I have 3 teenage daughters myself, and there are specific areas of the ships that are designated only for teens. They have non-kiddy play areas that have, sort of computer games and teen-oriented activities, social events. One really fun thing my daughters, teen daughters, did recently was they made a movie on the ship as part of the kids club. It was like a zombie-themed movie, and they wrote a script and acted it out, and the sort of counselors on the ship helped them do that. It was really fun for them.
So you would highly recommend that then for families with teenage kids?
Absolutely, and it's a great way to give them a little bit of autonomy as well as having family time. So, you know, obviously every family will have their own rules, but we would be like, you have to eat dinner with us and you have to check in at certain times and that sort of thing. But otherwise they could have, sort of free reign of the teen areas of the ships. And because almost everything is included, it's not like they're begging us for extra money. So it's like they can go get a sandwich on deck or hop in the pool or whatever without really needing us to supervise every second, which is a nice thing for mom and dad to get a little bit of a break there as well.
Yeah. And you did say, though, you said earlier that the food on a Disney cruise line is incredible. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, it's never, never ending. So there's like even room service is included. There are.
Are you serious? Even room
absolutely.
Service is included? Wow.
There are a few little things that are not, but for the most part, you can get a sandwich or even a steak sent to your room at no extra charge, sort of any time of the day or night, which is really kind of fun. You know, my husband likes to surprise me with getting warm chocolate chip cookies sent to the room right before bed for free, so that's nice.
That is very nice, yeah. But what, they have a variety of restaurants. I mean, what is the dining experience like? Is there a variety of restaurants of different levels, casual to do you need to bring a coat and tie?
You don't have to bring a coat and tie. So each ship has on the pool deck area, there are sort of half a dozen like sort of fast foodie type places. Again, all of this is included for free. You're not paying for anything. That have the fast foodie places have like pizza or burgers or chicken nuggets or whatever. And you can just walk by and grab something. There's also free ice cream on tap, on deck, all the time. Each ship has a buffet-type restaurant called Cabanas that's open for breakfast and lunch, where it's just you can't even imagine the amount and variety of food that's available all the time there. And then they also, for dinner, have each ship has three, they call them the main dining rooms, that are themed. So each ship has one that's sort of themed to animation, and they sort of tell the story of Disney movies, and there's some interactivity where you can create some art that's put into a Disney movie at the end of your meal. And then there's the Disney Wonder, for example, has a restaurant that's themed to the film Tiana, or Princess and the Frog, and it's called Tiana's Place. And they have New Orleans jazz live music played and all Creole and Cajun food. So each ship has three of these main dining rooms that you rotate between during your cruise. And they also have one or two adults-only restaurants that have really gourmet food and personal service and incredible wine lists. Those have a small upcharge, but they're well worth it, in my opinion.
In your book, you talk about saving money, how to save money on a Disney cruise, and specifically you're talking about like times of years to book and so forth.
Right. So basically, it's the same thing with Disney parks and Disney Cruise Line. If the kids are out of school, it's probably going to be more money. So it's going to be more expensive in the midsummer and, say at Easter and Christmas week. Other than that, things are pretty modest. But, yes, you are going to pay sometimes as much as twice as much. If you're going in the first week of December, it might be twice as much to go Christmas week.
Yeah, well, so. Christmas week, yeah. If anywhere you want to go on Christmas week, you're going to be paying top dollar. And what about extra excursions? I know they have that one island, Castaway Key, and I imagine most of the stuff there is part of the cruise. But what about, that's the one thing about cruise ships is they go to different places. Are the excursions, can they be expensive? Or, how much does someone plan financially for extra money for those?
It totally depends on what you want to do. So you're correct. Disney does has the private island, and most of the sort of excursion activities there are quite inexpensive. You could rent a raft and a snorkel for something like $10 a day there. You can go up to, $4,000 a day to have your private helicopter bring you to dog sledding on the glacier in Alaska. So it's sort of as much or as little as you want to spend. Many, many, many people don't spend anything on excursions, and they just choose to walk around on their own and explore a port at their own pace. We have, for several of the ports, we have our own little walking plan. For example, at all the ports in Alaska, we have a walking tour where you spend something on the order of like $30 to walk around and see many of the local sites and have lunch in a local restaurant pretty inexpensively. But again, there are many luxury excursions that if you want some personal attention and some really over-the-top stuff, you can pay several thousand dollars and get something out of this world. But it's kind of up to you. And there are excursions at every port at a variety of price points.
At this point, the Caribbean obviously was in the news a lot this summer because of the hurricanes Irma and Maria. What is that like? I talked to David Yesko, who's a reporter on cruises, a few weeks ago, and he says that the Caribbean is open for business and they're really looking for people to come because they need the commerce, they need the business. Has that affected the Disney Cruise Lines at all?
Very, very little. As you are correct that the ports are open for business and they are desperate to have people come and start to improve the economy and spend money. Disney is now sailing their regularly scheduled sailings out of San Juan, Puerto Rico. Those are going on. The only thing I actually just about an hour ago heard that they're swapping out some of the Tortola stops this winter for St. Martin stops in the Eastern Caribbean, but that's the only thing I've seen that's slightly altered. But they're going back to those parts of the Caribbean, and it's generally business as usual.
Now, mainly people think about cruises going to the Caribbean in the U.S. And is there one destination or is there one type of Disney cruise in the Caribbean that you would suggest is one of the better ones?
The Disney Fantasy typically sails 7-night cruises. The Disney Dream does 4-night cruises, 3- and 4-night cruises. Many people prefer the longer 7-night ones that visit the Eastern and Southern Caribbean, simply because those ports are sort of less common. Though if you're a frequent Caribbean traveler, you've been to Nassau probably many, many times. And so visiting some of the southern and eastern ports is often more interesting for people who've been to Nassau over and over again.
Well, very cool. Well, it's a great, if you're thinking about going on a Disney cruise, I highly recommend it. I'm a big fan of the unofficial guides, all of them. And we've had many of the authors on before. And this is the 2018 version, Disney Cruise Lines. There's a reason over 6 million of these guides have been sold, because people find out a lot of stuff in here. And I don't think there's anything that you need to know about the Disney Cruise Line that's not in the book. You've covered everything. I really appreciate the work that you guys did.
Thank you so much.
And continued success. Aaron, thanks for the time today.
Sure, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
I would really encourage you, if you're taking a vacation in Florida, to check out the unofficial guides. And also some of our past podcasts. Episode 29 of our podcast had Len Testa, who wrote the Unofficial Guide to Disney World, at 2018 guide. And man, it's filled with so much stuff in there, especially a way to get around the park and not stand in lines all afternoon. And then episode 38 has Seth Kuberski. He's the author of The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando and The Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Just great, great books. Highly recommend those if you're traveling before you step out the door, before you even decide to plan on your vacation. You might want to check those books out. All right. For everybody that's been part of it, especially Aaron Foster, author of Disney Cruise Lines Unofficial Guide 2018, I want to thank them on behalf of our entire staff. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. The world is out there. Your adventure awaits. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis, and this has been Travel with Hawkeye.